Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Health made easy. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
I absolutely love this topic today because I myself have been a health advocate since I was about 16 years old for all of my elderly relatives, in and out of the hospital, all the time with them, listening to the doctor, speaking for them, hearing what they said. And now this is, interestingly, what I do for a living, is take doctor information, complicated medical information, make it accessible to the layperson where they can understand. Health advocacy is our single best armament for good health besides preventive medicine. And my guest today is Fernando Gutierrez. He's a certified healthcare mediator and registered professional guardian, here to talk about second opinions, because this is what health advocacy is moving toward. Welcome to the show, Fernando. So tell me a little bit about second opinions, because people think, and my parents were like this, if they get a second opinion or even ask for one, their doctor's going to be insulted.
Well, the professional, if the doctor or clinician is honest and upfront, they welcome that. I can recall that I had a nephew who I did some research on the internet on neurology. He had a seizure disorder, and the comment that I got from the neurologist was, "I wish everyone was like you, where you did your homework and you speak with the clinician or the physician about the diagnosis, prognosis," because what happens is, I'm a strong believer that medicine is more art than science, and not everyone reacts to medication the way that textbook, cookbook medicine wants us to. And to be informed, especially when you're dealing with a life or death issue, is critical, because you don't get any mulligans.
Nope. You sure don't. And not only that, the second opinion, but bringing somebody with you to your appointments, somebody that if you're elderly and you can't hear that well, or bringing somebody with you to listen, is just so important in this day and age of health advocacy being more and more, you know, important. Now, how do people find that doctor for the second opinion? And who do they go to? Do they just talk to friends or family? How do you know that the next doctor is right when the first doctor said a different thing?
Well, first of all, I think it takes courage to get that second opinion. As you mentioned before, the older generation, my parents, whatever the doctor said is what was how you followed it. But what you do is, nowadays, you would have to actually, in order to get an objective opinion, you'd almost have to go to a physician who does not have hospital privileges where your surgeon or your primary care doctor is. The reason why is that there's always this friendship amongst physicians, and if they need to second guess their colleague, a lot of them are reluctant to do that. So if you're going to have surgery at XYZ hospital, well, then maybe you should find a physician who has a hospital privileges at ABC Hospital.
That's true. Okay, so looking for the different places so that you know what you're looking for and talking to. Do you tell the first doctor you're getting that second opinion?
I believe so. To be upfront and frank with the attending physician, I think so. If that physician is upset or feels that his credentials are being challenged, he shouldn't. You should get another physician. You should drop them, because it's your life. It's the life of your loved one, and you don't get second chances. And basically, what I make the argument as a bioethicist studying bioethics is that second opinions basically are either the patient or the healthcare proxy of that patient seeking moral certitude to withhold or withdraw medical treatment. That's my argument of why people are really looking for a second opinion.
What do you think? Are there certain conditions that you say absolutely you always should get a second opinion, or, sometimes you say, well, I mean, maybe not, or do you think just always?
I think it's always. Even myself, I'm non-compliant when recently I had an issue with my leg, and I was the physician ordered some anti anti-inflammatory medication. I just didn't take it. I just felt that maybe I didn't need it. And so I think it's always needed. You always need to get an opinion, I guess, out of the box. Somebody who's probably thinking out of the box, but it's mandatory. But unfortunately, most people don't get these second opinions because they put too much credibility on the white coats.
I think so too. And what do you want people to know about at being their own best health advocate? Because I feel that that is just so important. Asking doctors questions. People get intimidated, as you say, by the man in the white coat or the woman. And I'm certainly not intimidated by doctors, but I've been dealing with them for years and years. But I do have respect for them, a healthy respect for how much schooling they had to go through or experience. But questioning them is what we should be doing. What do you want the listeners to know about bringing questions with them, bringing a person with them, all those things?
Yeah, it's critical. And maybe they should always bring someone who can at least guide you as to the questions that are needed. In my private practice, I've established what we call an independent bioethics committee made up of other clinicians, a registered dietitian, a respiratory therapist, and several registered nurses. So if someone would call us, we would say, hey, you know, what's the diagnosis? What's the prognosis? And based on medical protocol, these are the questions that you should be asking, because what happens is it's an emotional issue, and especially someone who's diagnosed with a terminal illness, they, in my opinion, usually are not in the right mind to absorb and to make decisions based on the benefits and the burdens. So it's critical to have that other person, healthcare proxy, surrogate, family member, who can ask the right questions. And basically, it's, you know, seeking individuals who have this experience and saying, hey, I need help. What questions should I ask?
What questions do you think, in just our last minute here, are some of the most important questions that people can ask? Because I've heard health advocates say, oh, ask about the doctor's experience. How many surgeries has he done? How many times has he done that surgery? And I don't always feel that those are the most important. I like the outcomes. I like judging by their character, their personality, how well they react. What do you think are some of the most important questions you ask a doc or somebody you're considering as a healthcare provider?
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking for myself, I've seen and I've had interaction with physicians who are very nice, very cordial. And then there's physicians and surgeons who are straight to the point, business only. If it's a serious illness, my personality leans towards the doctor who knows his stuff, may not be as friendly as you would like, but he's had success with other patients, rather than the doctor who is more of a friend, because I feel, you know, it's business and it should be done on a basis where, hey, we're going to improve your health or we're not. But and the question is the prognosis. How long do I expect to be in rehab if I have this? And that's an open, wide question, but you should ask that question, because not everybody's the same, and a physician, you know, will usually say, you know, it may take 6 months, it may take a year, and those are critical, is to find out not the diagnosis, but what's the prognosis and the recovery time of
absolutely, and those
surgery.
Are great questions, and that's the way that you find out being your own best health advocate. You know, I'm passionate about it. It's something that I really want everyone to learn about. Bring somebody with you. Don't hesitate to get a second opinion. Don't hesitate to ask your doctor lots of questions. Take notes. Bring questions with you. That's the way we'll all get healthier together. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.